In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque belonged entirely to Jesus. She had consecrated herself, body and soul, to his divine heart. She had donated her whole being to him, and God, in return, had named her universal heir of all his goods. She was a true spouse of Jesus, a blood bride, suffering with him for the sins and ingratitude that he received from sinners, and especially from consecrated souls. She tried to console him for the offenses received, especially the offenses received in the sacrament of the Eucharist. The Eucharistic Jesus was the center of her life. For this reason, she spent every possible moment before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. She knew that he was there waiting for her, with his heart burning with flames of love. And in the Eucharist, especially after communion, at the moment of most intimate union with him, is when she received the greatest graces of her life. Before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, she could not say prayers, she could only love in silence. The servant of God learned by experience that the best way to confront the evil one was with obedience, which is also the best means of personal sanctification. One day, Jesus said to her, "My daughter, do not do anything without the approval of those who direct you." So having the authorization of obedience, the evil one cannot deceive you, since he has no power over the obedient. All religious, separated and disunited from their superior, must be considered as vessels of reprobation. My heart rejects these souls in such a way that the more they try to get closer to it through the sacraments, prayers, and other exercises, the more I distance myself from them because of the horror they inspire in me. They will go from hell to hell because this lack of unity is what has already lost so many souls and will continue to lose them, since every superior, whether good or bad, takes my place. And the inferior one, as many times as he wants to hurt him, makes as many mortal wounds in his own soul. Then he will moan in vain at the door of my mercy. I will not listen to him if he has not heard the voice of the superior. And Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque says, "I then saw a large number of religious souls who, because they had some lack of unity with their superiors, were deprived of the help of the Most Holy Virgin and of the saints and of the visit of their guardian angels in the midst of the terrible flames of purgatory, where some will remain until Judgment Day." The Lord cannot suffer in the religious soul the most insignificant demonstration of repugnance to the superiors. He told me, "You deceive yourself by thinking that you please me with certain actions and mortifications chosen by your own will, twisting the will of the superiors rather than submit your judgment and will to them. You must know that I dispose of all this as corrupted fruit of their own will, which causes me horror in religious life. It pleases me more that some gifts and comforts are taken out of obedience than to see them oppressed by austerities and fasts of their own will." One day, upon giving me the discipline and finishing the Ave Maris Stella in the time that had been granted to me, he said, "This is for me." And as I continued, he added, "Now, with what you do, you give participation to the devil." And because of this, I left it immediately. On another occasion, when I was offering discipline for the blessed souls in purgatory, and I did more than they had allowed me, those souls surrounded me, complaining that I beat them. This made me take the firm resolution to die before breaking the indications of obedience in the least. Once, when I was very ill and I could hardly understand what I was saying, our mother gave me a piece of paper in which she said that she wanted to make sure that whatever was happening in me came from the Spirit of God. If it were from the Spirit of God, the Lord would give me perfect health for 5 months without the need to take any medicine. But if, on the contrary, it came from the spirit of the devil or from nature, I would always remain in the same state. It is not possible to say what this made me suffer. They made me leave the infirmary with words that our Lord inspired them with to make them more sensitive and mortifying to nature. I presented the paper to my sovereign, who was not unaware of its content, and he replied, "I assure you, my daughter, that as proof of the good spirit that guides you, I would have granted your superior as many years of your health as months you have asked me, and plus all the assurances you would have wanted to ask me." And at the moment of the elevation of the Blessed Sacrament, I felt in a very perceptible way that all my illnesses were taken away from me, as if a garment were stripped from me, which had been suspended. And I found myself with the strength and health of a very robust person who had not been ill for a long time. And so I spent the desired time, after which I returned to the previous state. On another occasion, when I had a fever, my superior made me leave the infirmary to do the exercises, since it was my turn, and he told me, "Go, I entrust you to the care of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he direct, rule, and heal you according to his will." And although this surprised me a little, because I was then trembling with fever, I nevertheless left very happy to practice this obedience, either to see myself entirely abandoned to the care of my good master, or to have the opportunity to suffer for his love, being indifferent to the way he had to make me spend my retirement, either in suffering or in joy. As soon as I found myself locked up with him alone, he appeared to me, while I was lying on the ground, completely transfixed with pain and cold. He made me get up, showering me with 1,000 caresses, and told me, "Anyway, here you are, all mine, and all in my care. This is why I want to return you healthy to those who have put you in my hands sick." And he restored me to such perfect health that I did not seem to have been ill, which they greatly admired, especially my superior, who knew everything that had happened. I never spent a retreat with so much joy and delight. I believed myself in paradise for the continuous favors, caresses, and familiar treatment with my Lord Jesus Christ, His Most Holy Mother, my Holy Angel, and my Blessed Father, St. Francis de Sales. Once again, feeling an ardent desire to make a retreat, to prepare myself for it, I wanted a second time to engrave the holy name of Jesus on my heart. But I did it in a way that opened several sores on it. Having told my superior on the eve of the day my retreat was to begin, she replied that she wanted some remedy to put on me, for fear that it would degenerate into some dangerous evil. This made me complain to our Lord, "Oh, my only love, will you allow others to see the evil I have done to myself for your love? Are you not powerful enough to cure me, you who are the sovereign remedy of all my ills?" Finally, moved by the pain I felt in expressing my illness, he promised me that the next day I would be cured. And indeed it was, as he had promised me. But not having been able to tell our mother, for not having found her, she sent me a note, in which she told me to show my illness to the nursing sister, so she could apply some remedy. But being already healed, I thought I was excused from complying with such obedience, until I had told our mother, whom I went to look for with this note, and told her that I had not done what she indicated in the note, because I was already cured. Oh my goodness, how severely they treated me for this lack of promptness in obedience, both she and my sovereign master. I stayed 5 days approximately, in which I did nothing more than mourn my disobedience, asking for forgiveness with continuous penance. As for my superior, She treated me relentlessly in that case, as our Lord inspired her, because she made me lose Holy Communion, which for me was the cruelest torture I could suffer in life. I would have preferred 1,000 times to be sentenced to death. She also forced me to show my illness to the sister, who, finding it cured, she did not want to do anything, but she kept receiving it with very great confusion. But all this was nothing to me, because there is no kind of torture that I would not have wanted to suffer, because of the pain I felt for having displeased my sovereign. Finally, after having made known to me how much he dislikes the slightest lack of obedience in a religious soul, and suffering the corresponding penalty, he himself came in the last days of my retreat to dry my tears and restore life to my soul. In such a way, he made me understand what obedience was in a religious soul, that I confess I did not understand it until then, but it would take me too long if I wanted to explain it. He told me that, as punishment for my fault, not only this sacred name, whose inscription had cost me so much, would no longer be visible, but also the previous ones, which previously appeared very well marked. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.